I was greatly encouraged by a phone call I received from a club manager in Roscommon early yesterday morning. I'm inclined to think, he said, that the championship haircut is on the way back. And I found myself becoming dewy-eyed at the prospect of this ancient tradition enjoying a long overdue revival. I thought back to Jimmy Barry in 73, a long narrow back on him like a leaping salmon, and a head like a trained killer, which in reality he was. Like my club manager friend, I've had it up to here, and yes, my forehead does extend further north these days than it once used to do. With all the modern-day affectations, grunge looks, goth, tie-dye, flickering highlights, all that stuff, the GAA should never have moved away from the short back and sides. It was a grave tactical error. Give me 15 men with championship haircuts, and anything is possible. A proper championship haircut, one that left skull and bone exposed, or indeed in the occasional celebrated case, crossbones, told you all you needed to know about a player. It carried with it a guarantee of determination, of single-mindedness, and most importantly of all, a strong rural dimension to his lineage. You could work with the player who committed to the championship haircut. He was open to learn, willing to put himself on the line for the team. And in point of fact, his championship haircut was his only brush with the devil that is the ego. Ultimately, it wasn't a fashion statement at all. More a message to the opposition that here was a man to be taken seriously. His lean jawbone displayed to the breeze, and the thick nape of his neck visible from a great distance, carrying with it an unspoken warning that when you tangled with this fine piece of rippling manhood, you tangled at your peril. The year doesn't belong going around, the barber would say. You let it go a bit during the league, but sure, as you often said yourself, important to keep something in the tank for summer. The ceremony, scarcely more than a 5-minute operation on another Saturday, could take up to an hour, as Barber moved around his bounty in a careful, calculated manner, trimming a piece of fluff here, extracting a nasal hair there, until our hero emerged into the light to stride his hometown like a colossus, which he willingly did, staring into the mid-distance to transmit his unwonted seriousness. A fine piece of a man, too, they'd say, behind his back, the shop boys and girls. And, you know, he togs even bigger. When he came out onto the field the next day, darting this way and that and sucking in great big gulps of air, a lep or two every 15 yards, young boys in the crowd would be called to take a close look at their burgeoning sexuality if they were lucky enough to have such a thing in the 50s and 60s. The championship haircut was a constant in difficult times in this country. You might get the electric in your village, or a local shopkeeper might splash out on a new awning for his shop. But every year, despite unrelenting change elsewhere in society, the championship haircut was there, something to cling on to, metaphorically speaking, if not always physically. But it was let to slip through carelessness. Not long after Jimmy Barry, we had the Armagh team of the late 1970s, and a worrying number of hairbands, and Alan Larkin, and then John Lynch, and his mullet without a safety warning. And standards continued to fall until we arrived where we are today. A mix-em-gather-em, ragtag collection of unrestrained expressiveness. And as we all know, that kind of individuality is entirely at odds with the whole notion of team. But maybe, according to my club manager friend in Roscommon, things are about to go back to the way they once were. And if you ask me, that's no bad thing.